Hello there. Welcome to today's podcast with Pastor Bless Donkor. I hope you'll be blessed. Stay tuned.
As the custom is, we want to read our anchor scriptures. And our first scripture is going to be the book of Psalms, chapter 51, verse 10 to 12. Psalms 51, verse 10 to 12. Hallelujah. Psalms chapter 51, the verse 10. And I read from the New King James Version. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. Hallelujah. Our second reading will be taken from the book of Romans chapter 6 verse 6 to 14. Romans chapter 6 verse 6 to 14. Still reading from the New King James Version. Know this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once and for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Let's move on to the next verse, verse 12. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as instrument of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instrument of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but grace. The emphasis on the verse 14. Then we're going to take our last reading, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, that we are all going to read together. Are we ready? In the New King James Version, 2 Timothy, the epistle of Paul to Timothy, the chapter 1, verse 7. Are we ready? Okay, let's go. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of what? Father, we thank you this morning. As your word come, we pray that it will have its residence in our heart to cause transformation and guide us in Jesus' name. Amen. We are on a journey as a church, and every Sunday that we come, that has been dedicated to a teaching service to establish spiritual doctrine that is necessary for our illumination, is for a certain purpose. Since last year, we started a journey in the matters of the anointing, and we have looked at anointing in all forms and types, and we have laid some very good foundation for ourselves on the matters of what? The anointing. Hallelujah. As I wrap up with the last sub-series on the anointing, but not the last message for now, we have been looking at the concept of grieve not the Holy Spirit as part of stewarding the anointing. Amen. And last 2 weeks, when we started with stewarding the anointing and on the matter of grieve not the Holy Spirit, we defined grieving the Holy Spirit as a basic, or in its basic form, as an act of expressing a character or a character trait that is contrary to the very nature of the Holy Spirit. So when we say that you are grieving the Holy Spirit or you have grieved the Holy Spirit, in its very basic explanation and definition, we are talking about any character trait that is contrary or opposite to the nature of God that lives in you as the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. We establish that the very essence of the Holy Spirit also coming to live in us is to express the true nature of God. So last 2 weeks when I was laying the foundation, I said that when Jesus promised us the Holy Spirit, it was for two major reasons. The first is that he will come upon us and what? He will live in us. Do you remember that? And I said that for the living in us, it is to fulfill the very desire to which God created man, which is what? Image of him. Hallelujah. Amen. So the image of God is only possible when the Holy Spirit is in you. So all that the Holy Spirit seeks to achieve whilst he lives in you is to produce that image of God in you, which is through the spirit of man, the soul, which is designed to reveal the state of one's spirit or expresses one's behavior, actions, and attitude, will show forth exactly what God's nature is to his creation. So when God created man, this is how the whole anatomy of man is. When we talk of the anatomy of man, I'm talking about the full being as a creation, what it stands to be. Now, the anatomy of man begins with the spirit, comes to the soul, comes to the body. Man is a tripartite being. Now, when God created man as a spirit being, the spirit being is created to contain the essence of God. So the spirit of man is a container, a place of dwelling and residence for spirits, which is actually designed for the Holy Spirit. Are we on the same page? Now, when the soul was created to be subjected to the dictates and the directings of the spirit. So the soul is the very essence of you. So when we are talking about you, we are talking about soul. So in the soul nature of man, what is very dominant there is the I character. Hallelujah. Are you following me? The I character is dominant in the soul of man. So what makes you you is what is in your soul. So the soul component, which is also three in one, talks about your will, your heart, intellect, your mind. Do you understand? And then your heart, your mind, your intellect, your will, and heart, your mind. These things are so secluded and peculiar to you that there cannot be another person like you. Do you understand? There cannot be another person like you. And that personality that God has put into you as your character trait. So when we talk about character trait or personality of a person, or some people say they are sanguine. Do you have the sanguines over here? Do you have the sanguines over here? We have people who say they are melancholic. They have those, which one do we have again? Phlegmatics, right? So this character trait we are talking about here is very deep in your soul. It has nothing to do with your spirit. Now what happens is that this very design that God has designed you is to line to the heart, the spirit in you, the nature of God or the nature of whatever spirit residing in you, and then bring forth the character trait of that spirit. So in essence, the soul of man is a reflector. It reflects. As it is, so it is. Do you understand? So the Bible says, as a man thinketh, so he is. It's talking about the essence of the influence in you. Are you following me? So when the Holy Spirit comes to live in you, what he wants to achieve is that because your spirit, the essence of your spirit is to contain spirit. That is all. So every spirit of man or every human spirit, the best it can do is to provide a place of what? Dwelling for another spirit. That is why man can be an altar. Altars are destinations for spirit. That is why human beings can be possessed. Have you heard of somebody being possessed before? A spirit has taken over the person. Recently, I saw a video when this issue of Daddy Lumba came up, and they said a particular woman was there and said that the spirit of Daddy Lumba has come to possess her, and she was saying a lot of stuff. And I was watching, I said, hey, God will help us. Hallelujah. But that people believe that because the essence of the human spirit is that spirit cannot take hold of it. Are you on the same page? But when that spirit takes hold of you, we will not know the kind of spirit that is working in you until the soul begins to reflect it, reveals it. So we know the manner of spirit that is in you by the character trait we see you manifesting. Hello? So that's why I say that the worst thing somebody can tell you is unyami sumpuni. Because we will know the kind of spirit that is in you by the character trait that is coming out of you. And that thing is of the soul. So when the Holy Spirit comes to possess you, it seeks that, you see, it unites with your spirit. And what they seek is that because the soul of man is designed to reveal whatever is in the spirit or whatever the spirit contains, it seeks that that will be revealed through your soul as behavior, as attitude, as the things you do. Are you with me? And when the soul desires, when the soul begins, you see, the body is a slave. And it's a slave to the soul. Okay? And then the soul is a servant to the spirit. You see the order. So whatever the soul tells the flesh is what the flesh what will do. Do you know that for you to eat, it must be something from the mind? Hunger. Hello, do you know that? Do you know that hunger is a state of mind? Oh, you have not noticed before. Have you ever noticed that you sit down, we can be working throughout. Then somebody will ask you, have you eaten? Then instantly you start feeling hungry. Who has ever experienced that before? Oh, let me see my hand. Oh, okay, am I the only person? Oh, church, why are you doing this? You can be so busy throughout the whole day. You are busy. Then somebody asks, have you eaten? Then instantly, you feel some movement in your stomach. Ah, get me food. The question is, all that time, what was happening to you? It's because the slave, the body, the instruction has not come from what? The soul. So the moment the soul, that is your mind, recognize that you have not eaten, instantly the soul what? Picked it. Are you following the whole thing? So the Holy Spirit seeks to influence you, and that the nature of God will be seen. Now let's read the book of Romans chapter 8 verse 19. When the Bible said that, let's read Romans chapter 8 verse 19. The media, I want you to be very fast with me, because we have a lot to do today. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revelation of the sons of God. Now you see this scripture here, sons of God, is a very weighty matter over here. Now, when God created man, God created man as his image, so that that image will be seen by creation. The first man that failed to reveal God caused the creation. Now, do you know that in the design model of God, God never designed a mosquito to suck blood? Do you know that? All insects were designed to suck out nectar. That is the design model. But because the first man who's supposed to reveal the character and nature of God failed, all creation lost their, some creation, and most of them lost their blueprint. So mosquito, because he didn't see the manifestation of the sons of God, lost his blueprint as to what to do. Now this manifestation I'm talking about is so important that even in the naming of creation, God left it to man. So as what man calls it, so it is. Now, when the Holy Spirit possesses you as a believer, what is the most important thing is that creation will begin to see that image, that character, nature of God, and they'll begin to respond to you. Oh, are you with me? So when the Bible says that nothing by any means shall harm them, you see, Daddy taught us something that recently I was doing studies and I said it's a powerful thing. He said that we are given the ministry of reconciliation, that by reconciliation we can be able to reconcile creation back to God. And in that interpretation, Daddy taught us that because we have received the ministry of reconciliation, we can tell Antoine that starting from today you cannot be used to curse anybody, and you obey. Why? Because of this scripture. That creation, that water over there, is waiting for the manifestations of the sons. The word is what? Sons of God. Now, how will we know sons? It is the character dominant. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to give you an example here. I'm trying to see what will be the best example. Now, how many of you have ever seen Elder Obu's father before? Who has ever seen Elder Obu's father before? Good. When you met him the first time, did he tell that he was his father? Yeah. You know, he born now? Are you following the picture? The resemblance between Elder Obu and his father is so close that at first sight, nobody will tell that, okay, this is the father. What about his siblings? Do you need to be told that Josephina is Abu's sister? When we talk of image, that is it is the replica of you. Now, you see, God created the heavens and the earth and everything within it. And that the creation responds to the creator, because it is the creator that owns it. Therefore, anything that has the resemblance and the reflection of the creature or the creator, the creation what? Will respond to it. So for a creation, for you to tell the someone, you cannot use this thing to curse me. You see, Jesus. When somebody use food, okay, to set a trap for you. What about yourself? The thing is that because of the nature in us, when creation is being used against us, it cannot respond because you cannot rebel against your master. Are you with me? You cannot rebel against who owns you. So, by the law of creation, whoever creates you, you cannot rebel against. If you rebel, there's consequence. So, whenever somebody uses creation against the creator in who is living in us, as it reflects in us, creation will refuse. That's why when they mention your name at COVID and they want to use tender, tender will say no. I can't rebel against my master. Are you with me? And this is why the Holy Spirit came to live in you, so that nature of God what will come out. I want you to follow me. But that nature will only be seen when the soul, are you with me? The soul begin to take the reflection of what exactly is living in him, which is the Holy Spirit. Now, this is what happens. Hence, our spirit is united with the Holy Spirit to become one spirit that will fully influence the soul of man. The reason why in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, the Bible said that we are united with the Spirit of God to become one. Give me that scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. The reason why the Bible says so is because until the spirit, the soul knows your spirit. The Bible said, he that knoweth the thought of what? Except he ought the spirit. The soul knows your spirit and will only align to your spirit, your created spirit. So the Holy Ghost can only influence your soul when your spirit is fully united. So when your spirit, when you become born again, the Holy Spirit comes to live in you, what happens instantly is that there's a union. That's why I said to you that marriage is a very important principle in the kingdom, because it speaks to us what is established between us and God. That is that the union of what? One spirit. But when it comes to marriage, it's called the union of what? One flesh. It's a principle. That's why marriage is very important to God. It speaks loudly about the principle that exists between us and God. Now, when we are united, now the soul cannot detect or cannot differentiate between whether it is your spirit or it's the Holy Spirit, because it's what? One. You can't separate them. That is how strong the union is. Therefore, the soul will now begin to what? Directly submit. This is where transformation starts from. So when the soul comes to the spirit to search for an information, he cannot tell whether it is your spirit or, you understand? So whatever is coming from there, it's the Holy Spirit. You see that the person begins to change. The reason why you see somebody becomes born again and you begin to see the person begin to align is because the soul of the person, the information is speaking to reflect. It can't differentiate between whether it is God, it is your own spirit or what. So the spirit takes advantage of that. Then the soul begins to take the information. Then your body begins to align to the detect of the soul. Are you following me? Yes. And that is how powerful the principle of the newborn creation is. Now what happens? Oh Jesus. So let's read Romans chapter 6 verse 13. Give me Romans chapter 6 verse 13. Romans 6 13. So when the soul and the body, when the spirit of man and the spirit of God is united, the soul begins to pick the reflections and begins to direct those reflections to the flesh to act upon. When the flesh begins to act upon, we achieve what we call Romans chapter 6 verse 13. What do you say? And do not present your members as instrument of what? Unrighteousness to sin. The members is talking about your physical body here. But present yourself to God as being alive from what? Dead. And your members as instruments unto what? Righteousness to God. So righteousness is a product of what the soul has been able to pick up from your spirit, the regenerated spirit. And is beginning to give those information to your flesh. So you see that there was a time that secular song was very for you. Because as at that time, your spirit nature there was able to give those reflections to your soul to line with. When you became born again, you started growing in the Lord. You find out that those songs begin to piss you off. Is there any example here? The things I used to do, I do them no more. It's because the nature that is reflecting now is not, it's against it. So now it becomes like something that you hate. See, people don't understand the thing that you are trying to know. It's not you. It's like something has happened to you. And that's why we call this an act of pregnancy. When a woman is here, you see them as quiet as they are here right now. They are behaving normally until something enters their stomach or their womb. There you can see the abnormal behavior of them. To those who are here to marry, you can ask Osofu Joshua. He will testify. Hallelujah. So you see that although when you know them, everything goes normally, then very soon they start to tell you, I feel for roasted corn and kebab at 2 a.m. And I tell you, until that need, because something is there demanding, it is not here. So you may not, and that's what happens to the believer and an unbeliever when we meet. They think that your anger, your resentment to certain things they are doing is your, you want to know, it is that thing that the soul has picked. It is rebellious to what they want you to do. Instantly you rebel. So the righteousness is not forced. If see, when you see somebody who is trying to live righteous, it means that the person has not really understand what has happened to him when he's born again. You don't force to live holiness. The nature that is in you, the spirit, when the soul begins to line and then pick it up, nobody will tell you to live. That's why I say, you not ask pastor, sleep over, is it wrong? The spirit in you will tell you whether to sleep over or not to sleep over. That Theo will tell you, ask the Holy Ghost. ask the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. But there's something that is very important. Why is it that when we get born again, this thing that I'm talking about, pastor is talking about, does not become very, let me say, easy to do? Why is it that it looks like, although this thing sounds so good and sweet, some of us are still struggling with some things. Some things are happening to us, and which leads us to grieve the Holy Spirit. That's what I'm heading to. Watch. The agenda of the Holy Spirit of making sure that the true nature of God is reflected to you, which is righteousness, love, all these things, faces some challenge. Faces some restriction. And what is this? This resistance is because the former nature that used to exist in your spirit of man has already trained your soul to be self-centered. Has already trained your soul to be selfish in its ambition, and has also trained your soul to what? Live by self-effort. What am I trying to say? When sin was conceived, it became a nature first. And the nature of sin was living in the spirit of man. Nature. That nature, when the soul searched into the spirit for instruction, that nature taught the soul how to be selfish. Selfish ambition. That is why even this small child you have over here, if you give her biscuit, you gave it to her, try and take it back again and see what happened. Have you ever witnessed that before? You see the kind of cry and wailing, because the nature there is training the soul that you have to think of yourself first. So you see that the self-centeredness, it is all about you. The principle of the three odd eyes, I, myself, and what? And me. It's because the corrupt nature that lives in the spirit instruct the soul, has been training the soul. And when you bring those three things together, self-effort, selfish ambition, self-centeredness together, you get what we call flesh. So the flesh is born from the training that your soul picked up from the nature that lives in your spirit. And that training
will continue until the Holy Spirit comes to take over that your nature in the, your spirit. Are you following me? So when the Holy Spirit comes to take over, that nature of sin is abolished, but the services he has provided to the soul is still there, called flesh. Oh, are you with me? How many of you have ever treated malaria before? Please, when you treat malaria, what happens? The symptoms are gone now, right? The parasite, what happens to them? Give Papa next to you. Help me. Maybe they'll understand the point I'm trying to make here when you tell them. Do you cure malaria or you try to? What happens? You said? So isn't it? Whenever you go to the hospital, you are diagnosed of malaria. The parasite causes, is it a plasmodium, right? Parasite that causes the malaria is not killed, though. That is the flesh. Okay? The symptoms are cured, but the plasmodium is there. When you become born again, the training that the soul has given you, which is the mosquito has given you, the plasmodium, that is the nature. Okay? That nature is abolished. However, the very essence of the training has given you is there, called the flesh. So that training is also there. Now, when you become born again, the nature is abolished, but the training is there. So now when the soul, by its state of design, want to subject itself to the instructions of the spirit, and it picks up information to act upon, the already trained master, the called flesh, will begin to object against it. This is what established the scripture, Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Are you following me? He said, walk in the spirit and you shall not gratify the lust of what? The flesh. Move to the next verse. Verse 17. For the flesh lusts against what? The spirit. This lust against the spirit means that the instructions and the dictates that is naturally flowing from the spirit, that the soul wants to yield to, the flesh will fight it. The flesh will fight it. So self-centeredness, selfish ambition, self-effort that has become one in you will be, it's not in your spirit though. It is in the soul there. It is already there. You have been trained with it. So you fight that nature of God. You fight it. That is what he has, because every man must survive. Kingdom against what? Kingdom. You see, we are clashing against each other over there. So now this is what happens. Even though the soul wants to obey and align to the spirit to bring out what is the spirit currently telling it or telling him or her, the flesh will put up a fight to make sure that its works remains in action. Romans chapter 7 verse 19. I'm laying the foundation. I want you to follow me. The flesh will not stay calm. And you see, let me tell you, you will die with your flesh. The only time the flesh will leave you is when you depart from this body. The flesh, the only time it will leave you is when you depart from this body. As long as you are in this body, the flesh, it will put up a fight. Yes, it will put up a fight. Let's read. For the good thing that I will to do, this is a born again Christian, Paul, talking at the very essence of his salvation. He said, the good things that I will to do, I do not ought to do. Do I have a witness here? But the evil I will not do, that I ought. Listen, what do you ought? Sometimes the Bible is very, very, very serious. So the evil that I do not want to do, not that I do it, it become a habit. Something you practice is what? Habit, habitual. So most of the people who are trying to act tough, the things that they are doing, see that toughness that they are doing, that. When you sit one, when you start to talk to them, you see how they cry. They will to do the right thing, but because the flesh has put up a fight against that which the soul is receiving from the spirit, the flesh has a way of prevailing. And I'm showing how the flesh prevails. Are we on the same page now? Are you following me? Good. So whenever our flesh prevails over the spirit, the works of the flesh, which is contrary to the nature of God, immediately manifest in us. And when this happens, the Holy Spirit is grieved. And I'll tell you why he's grieved. So the moment your soul try to pick up information from your spirit and act upon it, the flesh will begin to what? Rebel. And when the flesh rebel against those instructions, it put forth a fight and let its own works come out. Galatians chapter 5, verse 18 to 20. And the moment you begin to do that, you go contrary to the nature of God that is in you. And the Holy Spirit is grieved. Do you know why the Holy Spirit is grieved when the believer, are you listening to me? Falls or succumb or let the flesh win the battle. I'll show you. The Holy Spirit is grieved because what empowers or gives authorization to the flesh to operate, is which is called the nature of sin, is completely abolished in the spirit of man when he or she is born again. Now, there is a difference between power and authority. Do you not understand? The authority of sin is in the nature. That means that the legalities, okay, permission to sin is in the nature. So when somebody is not born again, the person has all legal right to sin. That's why Jesus looked at it and said, you are of the devil, your father. For him from the beginning was what? A liar. And you are all liars. Why? Because the nature of your father lives in you. So you don't expect somebody who is not born again not to fornicate. It is an error. Somebody who is not born again, who the Spirit of God is not living in him, you don't expect the person to be truthful. Are you with me? You don't expect the person to be alcoholic. No. That is why, you see, the difference between you, why are they doing me? I cannot do something. No. It is their nature. They are just living who they are. Because the authority is there. The nature is there. Are you following me? So you must not be angry at somebody who is not born again or talk about it. That's what we are going to preach to them. We don't talk about stop. We rather offer them what can help them to come out of what they are suffering from. The love of Christ. Are we on the same page? But you, when you become born again, what happens is that authority, the nature of sin, is abolished completely from your system because it lives in your spirit. And two spirits cannot contain one vessel. So the Holy Spirit comes to kick him out and take full custodian of what? Your spirit. That's why I said, don't you know that your body is the temple of what? The Holy Ghost. And the Spirit of God what? Lives in you. It is in your spirit. Now, the nature in you now is the nature of God living in you. And we call it the status of the believer. Are you on the same page? Now, the power to sin is in the flesh. But for the flesh to be able to exercise that power, it needs authorization. So even though we are all selfish to some, who is not selfish here? We are all selfish. You let somebody enter here with gun and see who will go out first. I think I'll die for you. That's what selfishness can do. Let this building shake right now. I'll be the first to jump. Are you with me? Everybody has a dimension of what? Selfishness in him. But the reason why you see that to some extent some people's own are going down is because of the influence of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. It's because of what? The influence of what? The Holy Spirit. The nature is what? Abolished. The power is being suppressed. So the nature of God is being what? Revealed. Now, because that authority towards sin is no more in your spirit, even though the power exists, the power of sin is there, but the authority is not there. The power of sin can only what? Work when you give it permission. So in Romans chapter 6 verse 14, let me show that scripture. Okay, let's read Romans 6 verse 6 first. Listen to what Romans 6 verse 6 said. Anybody who is living the works of the flesh or allowing the works of the flesh to be very dominant in their life, do so because he authorized it. The flesh didn't have the power to do so. Are you on the same page? Now listen to what I said. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified. This old man is talking about is your old nature, the spirit man, the spirit. When we talk of man, you are, anytime the Bible says man, he's talking to your spirit. Take this from me. Man. He's always talking to your spirit. With him, that the body of what? Sin might what? Be done away with. That is authority. That we should no longer be what? Slaves of sin. So when the nature of God of sin is in man who is not born again, what the person is, that he's a slave. What are slaves? They obey their masters. That's why we don't call it the works of the flesh for the one who's not born again. It is their nature of life. Back to the verse 14. When you are born again, listen to what the Bible says about you and sin. Verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Why? For you are not under the law, but under what? Grace. Nobody here born again is under the dominion of sin as authority. Sin is not your authority figure. And the law is the representation of the authority of what? Sin. So the moment the law was abolished, it means that sin has no authority over you. Anything you are doing now, you authorize it. Are we on the same page now? So what grieves the Holy Spirit now is that the authority to sin is no more there. There's a new authority in you. So why then do you empower sin, which is the flesh, as if though the Holy Spirit authorized him? Because anytime the believer sin, what it means is that it is from the Holy Spirit, because he's the now authority over you. Anytime the believer sin, what it means is that the authority over you, which is the Holy Spirit, is the one who what gave permission for you to do it. That is what misrepresentation, right? Are we not on the same page? So it is, you are telling the world that, oh, in the Holy Ghost, you are allowed to what? Steal. With the Holy Ghost, you can lie. With the Holy Ghost, you can do all the things that have been mentioned in Galatians chapter 5, verse 18 to 20. Foolish talking, all those things. That's why, you see, when Paul was teaching the church of Ephesus, in the chapter 5, you see the way he said, let it not even be mentioned among you, because there is no place of authorization by the Holy Spirit in terms of the nature of God to do any of those things. So anytime the believer aligns to the activities of the flesh, what happens is that you, although the power is there to what, commit them, you give in the authorization. Are you on the same page? And that's where the Holy Spirit is grieved. So anytime you commit sin as a believer, the Holy Spirit is grieved, because it seems as though his authority is disregarded. It seems as though his authority is dragged in the mud. And I don't know if you have ever been a senior or a school father, a school mother before, or that kind of thing, and then a junior disrespected you and make your authority look foolish. How do you feel? Those of you who have kid brothers and sisters, Francisca Sam, when you tell Dorcas to go and sweep, and she did this with perfume and soap, tell me how is that feeling? How is that feeling? How is that feeling? But bonus, imagine the number of slaps you have invited the Holy Spirit to slap you. You see? That is what we talk about grieving the Holy Spirit, because he is the authority figure who instructs us through our spirit the kind of life we live. So therefore, when we do other things contrary to that, we bruise his ego, we overlook his authority, we make fool of him and his heart hurts. Hallelujah. Now, how does the flesh receive authorization to release the power of sin? The flesh receives authorization or relies on certain conditions that make us yield to him to gain authority to express the power of sin that manifests as the works of the flesh. Romans chapter 8 verse 6 to 7. Anytime you see a believer walking in the works of the flesh, you see the manifestation. It means that there are certain things, conditions that you have permitted to happen, and when those conditions are in place, those conditions automatically give authorization to the flesh to operate. Last week I mentioned one, and one was poor prayer life and study of the word. Anytime a believer has a poor prayer life and a poor studying of the word, you are setting a condition that guarantees the flesh work. So when the Bible said walk in the spirit, it is mean that to deny the flesh any condition of authorization. Any believer who doesn't have a good prayer life, and I say good prayer, I'm not talking about praying 10 hours a day or even praying 2 hours a day. Any believer who has not consistent prayer life authorize the flesh to operate. Because at every given instance, the flesh, the body must take instruction, right? The soul must be operating. So if the Holy Ghost is not speaking, somebody will what? If the Holy Ghost is not giving instruction, somebody must give what? Instruction. And remember, in that soul, there's already a trained person over there called the flesh. So anytime the believer does not communicate with God, he has a poor prayer life and the study of the word, you set in a condition that gives guarantee and authorization to the flesh to operate. Now let's read. The Bible calls it this: for to be carnally minded is what? Death. But to be spiritual minded is what? Life and what? Peace. So the issue here about this is a condition. When you are carnally minded, it means that a condition is at work giving the flesh an authorization to operate, producing death. The works of what? Death. Sin is a product of the works of death. Do you understand? So when the Bible says somebody is a carnal, when you're a carnal Christian, what it means that you have set in authorization for your flesh to operate. I don't know if you understand what I say. So carnal Christians are people, even though the nature of God is in them, the Holy Spirit is in them, and they're supposed to live the life of the Holy Spirit, they have refused and they have set in a condition that allows the flesh rather to what? Operate. So even though they say they are Christians, when you see what they do, and also when you are spiritually minded, that means that one you have abolished every condition at any given time for the flesh to operate. Why is it that we are all born again, but somebody has self-control, you don't have it? Now, is it that we have different Holy Ghosts living in us? I want to. Is it we have different Holy Ghosts living in us? It's the same Spirit living in us. So the reason why we are not seeing you having self-control is because you are carnally what? Minded, which means you have set in conditions that gives authorization and guarantee the power of sin to what manifest. One is poor prayer life. That is why when we went to Sunday school, they taught you this song: read your Bible, pray every day, pray. It's because if you don't do so, Satan will make a mess of you. The power of sin is not a joke. Sin is powerful. As we read in the book of Romans chapter 7 verse 19, what did he say? He said, the things I do not want to do, I do what? I practice. It becomes my habit. Many of us, there are things we are doing that in every right thinking pattern of us, we don't want to do it. Have you ever shouted at somebody and then when you would out of anger, you acted and then when you? Let me see my hands. I'm here. Sometimes somebody will provoke you, then oh your quest. The only thing that was left was the seer. Please, do I have a witness in the church? Sometimes when those things happen, you find out that day you didn't pray well, you didn't have a good connection with the Holy Spirit. You have set in the system for the flesh to what? Hallelujah. You don't like the message pastor is preaching, eh? Shall I close?
Okay.
So when we are carnally minded, that means that we set in conditions for what? Authorization for the power of sin. The power of sin is so strong. I was telling somebody that when you hear that people are some of the things I hear and you read on Twitter and everything, ask yourself how people are so bold to even, when you are fornicating, you hide it. To even record it and call it sex tape and release it. It should tell you how powerful sin is, the power of sin is. It will take madness. And do you really follow me? Even to be naked alone in the bathroom, how does it feel? And for a whole camera to be put on you, recorded, and you have saved it on your phone. That tells you the power of sin. It's only the power of sin that can make a man look at his own child and say, let me sell him 1 million Ghana cedis to make what? It's power of sin. You see, it's power. Sometimes, at all reasonability, the person shouldn't do that. When you see people doing certain things against, it's not anything. That shows you the power. Sin is powerful. But when you're born again, it doesn't have authority over you. You only give it that authority. And when you give it 1 inch, he will take 2,000 kilometers. You give him 1 minute. The way he will utilize, if you try, the devil today. Say, devil, I give you 1 minute. The sins you will commit in 1 minute. Somebody have not done it in 10 years. Now, the way he's looking for you, is that for the past 3-4 years, he has not been able to get you to do something silly. And then one day he said, oh, let me give that guy 1 minute to kiss me. That kiss, you see the kind of dimensions it will open you to. Channels of my spirit. Open up! He will take you to the Father of all last. And then you know the encounters you begin to have. Sin is powerful. So when you become carnally minded, you give it authorization. And when that authorization comes, he will make sure that he utilizes it to make sure the nature of God is blocked. So people are born again, but there is nothing about Christ in them. There is nothing about Christ you can see about them. It's not their fault. It's because they have subscribed to this carnally minded situation and they grieve the Holy Spirit. How can you follow in the anointing when you are grieving the Holy Spirit? So one of the ways, as I said last week, that we grieve the Holy Spirit is poor prayer life and study of the word. Number two, one other way, second one, is fear. Fear, our Father in the Lord, that the Joe calls it the frontline demon. See, anytime the devil wants to attack you, that's frontline hot demons. One is called fear. Fear is one of it. Fear. He will shoot it at you. Now let me define fear to you in a simple term. Fear is the manifestation of incomplete experience of God's love and assurance through the Holy Spirit. See, the fear of the mind is different from the fear in the heart. Sometimes something can hit you and your mind will pick and bring some fear to you. But what is your heart telling you? Hello? When the Bible says do not fear, it means that there's a presence of fear there. That means that it's not saying that fear was not there. Are you with me? When the Bible says do not fear, doesn't mean that the fear was not there. It is there. Do you understand? But the reason why you succumb to that fear, that means that you embrace it, your heart will open up to it, is because you have experienced what we call incomplete love and full assurance of the Holy Spirit. John, 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. First John chapter 4, verse 18. Are we there? Media, I'm waiting for you. Okay. There is no fear in what? In love. So that means that if there is no love, there will be what? Fear. So now, do you see why I define fear as the what? Evidence of incomplete what? Love. You have, this is the love of God, you have not embraced it fully. But perfect love, that's what? Cast out fear. Because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in what? In love. One of the things that we have to preach much in the church is the love of God. Because if the love of God does not envelop a person, that is an incomplete experience of the love. The least thing that happens, the person what? If love, and you see, the love of God is born out of your daily engagement with him. Okay. You see, the thing about Christianity and life is that it's so practical that our daily activity tells us. Let's do some practical here. Caesar, give him a microphone. I want to show you how perfect love works. Microphone. Hurry. Let's chop love small. Let's talk about love, okay? Mrs. Winston is not here, but we'll talk about her, okay? God. Let me show you how this scripture works. And whenever it is not there, fear takes over, and fear is a complete replacer of what the nature of God, according to 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7. Are we there? Do you have a microphone? So let's start. Are we ready? When you met Mrs. Winston, Hillary Asumji, give him the microphone. And you met her at level what, 100, right? Or 200? 300. No, when you started dating, I mean, when you met her, you saw her.
Somewhere around 200.
Somewhere around 200, good. Then you like her, right? Something, but you didn't say anything, but you became friends, right? Yeah. Then the more you were talking to her, what happened to you? Oh, please help us. What happened to you?
I was transformed.
You were transformed. I want you to follow the conversation, bro. So, you saw her, you like her, and you had a positive feedback, right?
Not immediately, but yeah. Like as we started becoming friends.
You start friends, and you start means you were talking a lot. Yeah, you were engaging her.
The intensity of the fondness kept
going. Okay, so the intensity of the fondness keep increasing. Now, it got to a point where you knew that nobody can compete with you, right? So you knew that at this point, I'm the only option for her. Nobody else.
Yeah.
Oh, I want you to answer, right?
Yeah.
And at that point, when you saw him around other guys, you had any concern?
Not really,
no. Oh, speak. Speak well. I want you to be sure right now.
No. I wasn't, no.
Now you are in Accra here. Yeah. She's in Kumasi. Do you have any fear?
No.
So what happened? How did that happen? Because of what? Your daily engagement and consistency, right?
Yeah.
That is what happens to the believer. Do you see what he just said here? Now, this establishes the fact that as we speak daily to God, that fear that the world poses to us, the fear of in the future, can you build a house? Can I complete the school? The fear that you will die out of this, that fear begins to disappear. Because what the world speaks to you is fear. And that complete trust, wholeness, see, that complete trust, confidence in God, that no matter what he told you, he will do it. The promises that are in the Bible that you have read, that God will do it. Do you know that it doesn't shake you again, even in the face of death? You think that Daniel and his brothers or the friends were able to walk into the fire because they knew God one day? No! They were walking with God from infants. So when they got to that point, see, the love and trust in God, see, the love between them and God was so strong that even in the face of fire, they know that this fire will not burn us. Incomplete love is when you have not had that good. You see, you know him small, he know you small. You see, so you see, say another girl, they come past there, say, Charlie, this girl won't take my boy. You. So that's where the question comes. Who is he to you? What are you doing over there? What did he say to you? Because at that point, you are not so confident that you are completely the only option. That's what fear does. So when the Bible says perfect love. Means that when the love is perfect, means that there's all 100% trust and reliance that this person, what he said, he meant it. That's why people like Theophilus can look at the devil and say, devil, try your worst. So when they sing those songs, it's not because they are just making comment. They have come to walk with God and they know God so much. They say, oh, you do your worst. My love, do you know who I'm in love with? You don't know what he can do. But when that love is not there, as we read in 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7, that love, when it is not there, fear replaces it. So fear dominates the mind of a person. It contradicts the spirit nature of God in the person, which is power, love, and sound mind. Hence, instead of yielding to the influence of the Holy Spirit, the believer yields to anxiety and doubt. You said, when Caesar said that, it got to a point, now he's here, the wife is there, has no fear. There's no anxiety or doubt in him that the wife belongs to him anymore. Now, in today's world, we have been hearing stories that DNA tests and things are happening. Are you following? But he's so comfortable here. Why? Perfect love. So, the moment a believer does not have a complete love of God, fear takes over. And see, the place of fear is that it controls the mind with what? Anxiety and what? And doubt. This doubt and anxiety cause us to refuse or delay obedience, grieving the Holy Spirit because his promptings are out resisted. Some of you, the instructions that God has given you to follow, you have not been able to do it because of fear. And you know how it grieved him. Some of you, you receive an instruction in your spirit to go and pray for only 1 hour, but because of exams, the fear of failing exams, say, Holy Ghost, after the paper, I'll pray. Oh, Holy Ghost, after the exams, I'll pray. Do you know why he prompted you at that instance to pray? Then you grieve him. Do you know why he prompted you? You think you are wiser than him? He didn't know you were going to write exams. It could be that that prompting could have saved your father, saved your brother, saved an uncle, saved a friend. But because of fear of failure of exams, you don't know that he that has called you is able. That even that 1 hour he has taken from you, he can compress that 1 hour into 2 minutes to tell you what to learn exactly. You see how we grieve the Holy Spirit? Out of fear. Oh, give that offering. Let we are going for a crusade. I know some people, God has laid on their heart to release 5,000 Ghana cedis. But they calculate and say, hey, Erade, at this present Ghana, you want me to release 5,000, 2,000, 1,000 Ghana cedis. Now tomorrow, what will I eat? That's all fear will do. Doubt and anxiety. Our fear has made us grieve the Holy Spirit on many occasions. Our fear. And see, that is where carnal things start to set in. The question is, how well are you connected to the Holy Spirit? So you grieve him. When you see somebody who is able to obey the Holy Spirit to the core, that person has no fear. Although fear is there, you don't know the things that I do, crazy things. Yeah. I'll do anything for God. He knows. As he stands now, he's my help. Fear. Whenever fear is at work. So Isaiah chapter 63 verse 10. Go and read that scripture. Whenever fear is at work, the mind of the believer is focused on circumstances, human opinions, and possible dangers. That's putting the believer into what we call spiritual bondage, which contradict the spirit of adoption and sonship. God never called us to be in bondage. He called us to the sonship. Sonship is reflecting the very nature of God. What fear is? The fear will stop that nature. Do you know that it is the nature to cure, to heal all kinds and manner of disease? Do you know that some people are here, they can never pray for somebody with headache because they are afraid that it will not work? It takes courage and the absence of fear to pray for sick people. Or you think that when you call me, you tell me that you are sick, you call me and you share your problems with me and I pray for you, you think I am super being? Hey, sometimes when they share some of the situation with you, ask yourself, Eradu bet me away there. Sometimes, God, this one too, you do it, eh? It's like Ezekiel and the dry bones. You don't see life there. Then you pray. Then out of nowhere, fear. Let me move on. Spiritual bondage. Romans chapter 8 verse 15. The condition called paralyzed faith happens whenever fear is in place. Do you know what we call a paralyzed faith? A faith that exists in desire but is immobilized in action. Faith that exists in desire. Hey, if I get like I want to sink and people begin to get healed, but it never happen in action. Do you know what holds the person back? Fear. Because the moment you want to see those things happen, there are certain things the Holy Ghost will demand you to do. If you don't take care, human opinions, situations around you will block you from doing them. Second one, I want to wrap up, then we'll close quickly. That immobilized aspect is Hebrews chapter 12 verse 15. I'm moving on fast so that we close. Number two, the place of neglect. One of the things that makes us grieve the Holy Spirit, or that one of the things that makes us create condition for the flesh to work, is neglect. Neglect grieves the Holy Spirit because it is essentially refusing to engage with Him and His work in your life. Grief does not only come from active what? Disobedience, like sin, but also from inactions or indifferences when we fail to nurture the relationship He desires with you. Since some people were born again, they have never, okay, how come the evidence of neglect? Number one, no intimacy with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is meant to dwell within you and guide you daily. When you ignore prayer, see, there's a difference between poor prayer life and then ignoring what? Prayer. Are you following me? When you ignore prayer, scripture, worship, or obedience, you are essentially neglecting His presence. There are some people, since the day they got born again, they have never prayed on their own before. Even our Father, who art in heaven, come on, came with that. Poor, you see, zero, their Bible is as fresh. It's like one of my friends we went to Palm with. The Bible he brought to school, when he was going back, the Bible is as new. The rubber was not torn. That green, green Bible, yes. That Bible was still brand new. The rubber was not torn. 4 years. Yes. Nothing. So they are the people that you say Habakkuk is in the New Testament. They'll go and look for it in the New Testament. Their own is they come to church, they are entertained, they are just jumping, they are happy. That is the kind of nothing. Ignore prayer, ignore anything. You grieve the Holy Spirit. See, neglect communicates a subtle message. Listen to what you say. When you neglect that to fellowship with Him, intimacy, I don't need you right now, or do not value your guidance. That's what you're telling the Holy Spirit. And it hurts Him so much. Anytime you refuse to study the word, pray on your own. I'm not saying join half hour. Half hour is good. Pray on your own. Your own. If 10 minutes, do it. Open the Bible and study, not read. You are a student, so you know what studies is. What do we do when we are studying? We are trying to assimilate information into our head. Is that not so? Through research, through repetition. So you don't read as an act of study. It's part of what? Studies. But at the end of the day, when you are tested on that very subject matter, you can answer. So the question is, what do you know about prayer? If you have studied the Bible, you know what prayer is. Are you with me? What is fasting? If you read the Bible, you don't know. But if you study the Bible, you know what fasting is. Number two, how we neglect the Holy Spirit, or we neglect, help us to conform or give the flesh a standing. Resisting transformation. The Spirit's works includes renewing your mind, revealing God's truth, and shaping your character. Romans chapter 12 verse 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18. You can write them down. When you neglect time with Him or refuse to act on His conviction, you resist the change He wants to produce in you. The grief occurs because He longs to accomplish His purpose in you, but you neglect it by blocking His activity. So you neglect transformation. One of the questions I always ask people is that, what has the Holy Spirit told you before personally that you have acted upon? 2 years ago, I asked Francis Assam this question. Do you remember? 2 years ago. And I remember the response. It forced her to go for a retreat. Because she couldn't tell me by remembrance anything as at that time the Holy Spirit had told her to act upon. At that point, that's a pure sign of neglect. Neglect of transformation. The question to you this morning is, tell me one thing in your life that you can attest that the Holy Ghost told you to do, that you've done it. Show us. It's not Pastor said. You see, we have passed that place. Pastor said, I should do this. We have passed that place. I like your facial expressions. I'll still say it. You know you can't shame the shameless. I'll say it. But it's true. Tell me one thing. So we have to start asking that question, you know, that since you became born again, one thing that the Holy Spirit told you that you have done. Some of you, all your Christian life, it is what Pastor said. It is what Pastor said. So when are you going to transform? When are you going to grow? Pastor said one day I'll travel. My phone will be off. The day that was over me will say, today I seize the phone. Then you know that Pastor, if you are praying, be praying for us over me that one day the Spirit will not come up and say, Pastor, I take your phone. 3 days you will not talk to anybody. That day you will see, I'm not available. The last one. Wrong association. So I said poor prayer life and study of the word is one way we condition authorization for the flesh, and we end up grieving the Holy Spirit. Number two, what did I say? Fear. Number three, what? Neglect. Number four, wrong association. Anytime you are on the path of being carnal, you are doing one of these things. Every Christian who is not carnal, avoid these four things I'm talking about. They don't have a poor prayer life. Anybody who is fornicating, dealing with addiction, check, they have a poor Christian prayer life. There's no way your prayer life is as hot as fire. Fire brand, but well steady. And addiction will be there. When you mind the spirit, the flesh will give in. Be hot. When your prayer life is consistent, you are steady in the word, you are hot. The flesh will give in. Because the nature in you will begin to take over the flesh. And I mean, this is my anger. You ask my colleagues, SS, you think you are more hot than I am? When I was a compound prefect, ask them to tell you. As slim and small as I was the most fearful person. When I scream on you, my commander, 360. Today, they are surprised I'm a pastor. Ask them. If there was anybody among us who would be a pastor, it was not me. Abi Amalai, you are my junior. Today, are you not shocked? You know, one of their mates met a colleague of mine at school, and he said, Pastor Bless. I said, shit, I'm fine, Pastor. Oh no, I saw, is my pastor you're talking? I said, yours, woman. Oh no, this awful that been. He didn't believe it. I was hot tempered, unforgiving, very wicked. I got called in number two. If I catch you, today people are doing things, and I want you to go score free. He tells you a transformed man. And you tell them, Pastor, me, I can't stop. Why? You think? Let's give a clap of hands to the Lord. Now, when Pastor Collins comes here and sits here and tell you that they are able to soak themselves 12 hours on pond tape. Today, look at him. My brother, if you are hot, prayerfully, in the word of God, those things will give in. Sometimes you have pampered some of you too much. You are pampering, oh. Please, it's time to see. Then you decide that every day, 2 hours, 1 hour prayer. Oh, I will pray. Oh, I will pray. Shabaya, doing it, blowing tongues. You can attend church service, do everything. You can still be fornicating. If you see, those things that corporate prayers will not stop that, oh. Oh, I'm telling the truth, oh. That addiction, corporate prayer will not stop it. It is your individual. You see, the more you are getting close to God, the fire is the power of sin is being suppressed. The conditions are dying off. That's how we do it. Me today, me myself, I'm surprised. I'm my pastor. Me, I'm surprised. Because sometimes when people do things and I say, is it me that you have done this to? And I don't do anything. I say, hey, God is good. Let's move on. Wrong association grieves the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 33. I hope you know this scripture. The Bible says, do not be deceived. Bad communication corrupts what? Good character. Wrong association. Are you all there? So, wrong association grieves the Holy Spirit because it pulls you away from His influence and aligns you with influences that opposes His work in your life. Anytime the believer accommodates and tolerates wrong association, the Bible said, do not be equally yoked with what? Unbelievers. The moment you yoke up with them and you become associated with them, What happens is that their influence pull you away or distract you from, and make sure that that influence opposes whatever God wants to do in your life. See, whenever the devil has tried all he can to oppose what God is in your life, he finds one stupid guy into your life in the name of love. If I want stupid girl to come in your life in the name of love, by the time you realize, oh, Joshua's brother, you think you can do that? You just give. I said, if you like today, say, devil, I give you 1 minute. Do your worst. You will call me, pastor. Please resolve this spiritual conflict. How much? You will call me and ask for the price of resolving spiritual conflict. You want to try the devil? How does this work? 3 ways. We'll close very soon. Number one, when you are wrongly associated with the people God doesn't want you to associate with, you cannot escape Psalm 1 verse 1. You cannot escape it. The first thing that affects you is your worldview and your values. I'm going to explain it. Psalm 1 verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of what? The ungodly. Nor stand in the path of what? Sinners. Nor sit in the seat of what? Scornful. See, the thing is not about you doing it, though. Just being there. That is a simple thing. This thing is not our situation. You already cursed. When you stand, you walk, you sit, you are cursed. Not that you did it, though. Just associated with it. How? Number one, as I said, when you consistently associate with people who live in sin, mock God, or encourage compromise, your thought pattern and values are influenced. There's no way you tell me that your playlist is... Should I give their names? Mention them yourself. Your playlist is... I'm talking of wrong association. Give them the playlist. Those secular artists, it's your playlist. It becomes your meditation day in, day night. And you're telling them that you don't think the way they think. You're lying to yourself. Even your hairstyle is even betraying you. Your hairstyle. So I tell people, see, who you follow, sometimes I'll know by your hairstyle the kind of hair you carry on your head. I'll know. Today I said, you can't shame the shameless with me. I'll say it. Your association, see, and I'm talking of the things you associate with, though. Wrong association. By your hairstyle, I will know. And you think what I'm saying is a joke? Whoever you admire, whatever you associate with, your hairstyle is enough. If you said I'm lying, look at most of the young guys right now. Look at their hairstyle. And find out who they follow, who they listen to. Nobody, you will know where it's coming from. Even your hairstyle is enough. That's how powerful association is. Don't be deceived. So you begin to what? Your thought pattern and values are influenced. So you have no respect for your body. You have no respect for the choice of words. Some of you are so shy of ladies until you start working with those guys and they start pushing you. We are John, John boy. Now you are master of all crafts. I have to say it. Number two, your desire begin to align more with the world than God. It's true. If you have associated with people whose stand is to fight God's purposes, fight the values of God, you align more to the things of the world. That is why you find it difficult to come for watch night, but shatter first, you'll be there. Yes. So when I watch you like that, you think that, oh, pastor doesn't know me. On snap, I'm monitoring you, but I'm not telling you. You know that I'm watching you. All the snaps you are doing, I know the snap queens in the church. I know them. It's okay. I'm keeping your secret for you. You go and post something, I'll reply you. The day you try it. I'll comment. Then you know that pastor is watching you. Last week I heard Apostle Japan, Church of Pentecost, that because of trying to follow up and making sure that he's in tune, they introduced him to an app. No, it's a dating app. Now the problem. He said he quickly deleted the app. He said, "Hey, Jesus is Lord." I laughed. Some of we, the men of God, we are so interested in your life that we follow you wherever you go, to be sure that we are updated and know what the devil is feeding you. So all you come to us, we will counter you. You are associated. You see, the thing why you are struggling to love the things of God is because of whom the things you have associated with. And you are grieving the Holy Spirit. You are grieving the Holy Spirit. See, when you are born again, there is nothing like sin nature in you. No. Whatever is happening is the flesh in your soul that you have given it authority to work. When you are willing to shut it down, you will see that you, the things you do them no more. Number two. So as I said, these things grieve the Holy Spirit because his work is obstructed by external influences that push you in opposite direction. So my brother, Elder Prince, says some of them are called part-time ministers, part-time boxers. You know, on Sunday you are a Christian, on Monday you are a Shatter fan. Okay, what do you call them? SM for life, right?
Right.
Good. Today I'll show you that me, I've been seeing you. I will not mind you. And then we have the Beam Nation. Whether it's a beam balance, whatever, I don't know what it is. Hey, things are going on, though. So Beam Nation is pulling you. Christ is pulling you. Where are you going? The day you die, they said those who bleach. Have you ever heard of that story? That those who are bleaching, now you get to heaven, then they don't bring the roll call. He said, all those who are black should go to the right. All those who are white, where will you stand? Most of you, on the day, what day? Because Beamness is pulling you. Christ is pulling you. Where do you stand? Please, if you want to be Beamness, just tell Christ that, Christ, I don't like you anymore. You can't have the nature of Christ and want to be like them. No. You don't know what you have signed up for. Number two, pressure to disobey. When you are with wrong situation, what they do to you is that they give you the pressure to disobey. 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 13 to 15. The story of Rehoboam, the grandson of what? David. When the elders advised him on what to do, his peers advised him against what the elders said, and they pressured him to do what he said. He said, if my father Solomon ruled you by my finger is thicker than what? His waist. He is the one through whom the kingdom was divided. Pressure to what? Disobey. Wrong association often pressure you into sin, whether it compromises integrity, giving into temptation, or speaking unkindly. Do you know how Solomon ended up as an idolater, worshipping idols, foreign wives? Have you heard the story of Ammon, the son of what? David. When he raped the sister, it was the godly counsel of what? Jonadab. Demonic counsel. Jonadab. 2 Samuel, if you think you can read 2 Samuel chapter 12, 13, verse 2 to 5. Last one, as we wrap up. Wrong associations suppress spiritual growth. All these things grieve the Holy Spirit. Because when these things are happening, what is happening is that you are lining up to the flesh. The Holy Spirit wants to produce fruit in your life. But wrong association will cripple this effort by one, discouraging spiritual habits like prayer or scripture studies. Do you know you have those friends that anytime you want to go to church or you want to do something, you say, are you the only one who is a Christian? I've met those people before. Oh, why? Oh, please don't do that to him. Those friends, they'll cripple spiritual growth in you. The moment you are you the only one? So they know you're having Bible study, but they'll intentionally turn on the song. Whilst you're having your Bible study, so they know what they are doing to you. They could have listened to that song with their AirPod or whatever thing, but they'll turn on the Bluetooth speaker to make sure that Bible studies will not work. Search a roommate, sack him in the following day, find another roommate. Because as long as he's with you, your spiritual life, oh, you'll never go anywhere. So don't discourage all forms of spiritual habits. Anything that has to make sure that you are aligning to the things of God and going to Christian. If you go to church more than 3 times in the month, they'll talk about it. And most of these things are in relationship, boyfriend, girlfriend. You knew God seriously until you started saying, you said yes to that guy or that lady. And all that is teaching you is how to disobey God. Oh, we are all Christians, so we are all Christians. That statement, it pisses me off. What are you trying to mean? You are all Christians, so now were we all born on the same day? When we were born again, was I there? Do you get my point? Each one for himself. Leave me alone. If you think your Christianity is how you want to go, go your path. But they want to discourage you. Do everything to make sure that, oh, that statement, we are all Christians. Promoting behaviors that quench or grieve the Holy Spirit. So you see that the things that they'll ask you to do is to grieve the Holy Spirit. Pastor said, don't kiss. He said, what is kissing? If you love me, if you really love me, that preamble is a killer. If you really love me, I can see the smiles on your faces. They've been telling you that one, right? Why do you want to use that to ask a demand? If you really love me, you will not say that I will not. Let me stop. I'm really. Last one. Making it harder to hear the voice of God because your attention is sort of diverted. Wrong association. That's what they do to you. So these are the things that we do to grieve the Holy Spirit. These are the things that we do to authorize the flesh, that the power of sin will be seen in us. When the Holy Spirit is grieved, what we see is 1 Samuel chapter 16 verse 14. Let's read that scripture and then I'll close. The last thing I'll talk about to conclude anointing is the place of power and authority with regard to grieving and quenching the Holy Spirit. But I want to end it here today with this scripture. Whenever we grieve the Holy Spirit, what happens is 1 Samuel chapter 16 verse 14. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and a distressing spirit from what? The Lord troubled him. When the Holy Spirit is grieved, his empowering presence, guidance, and convictions are hindered. That is, he stepped back slightly, departed, stepped back what? Slightly, letting us experience the consequences of our choice. It is like a parent withdrawing encouragement from a child who resists correction. Love is still there, but the effectiveness of the relationship is reduced until you respond. That's what happens. The spirit will depart. And then distressing. You see, most of the Christians in the church who are suffering depression, suffering all kinds of things that are all related to anything about born again. If you investigate, you will find out that 70% of the problem is because they grieve the Holy Spirit. Even though the Holy Spirit loves them, he would withdraw himself quietly and mind his business until you come to look for him. Because he will never force himself on you. Your academic struggle, whatever you are going through, if we sit down to investigate it well, 70%. Today we are going to pray the prayer of David in Psalm 51. The Lord, no matter what I do in the course of the day, when you are grieved, always remember this scripture. You see, the reason why every day we go to prayer and we repent, because you may not know what you did in the course of the day that grieved the Holy Spirit. What I'm saying, I'm not saying that me, as I stand here, I am. No. But what is keeping us from not losing him is because at the instant we realize that we have grieved him, we come to him. But when some of us, we grieve him, we continue to grieve him more until he is fed up. The Holy Spirit loves you. The love of God is unconditional. But I'm telling you, his relationship is conditional. And it will take his relationship that a distressing spirit. You see, the moment the Holy Spirit departed from Saul, there cannot be vacuum in the spirit realm. You see, the moment the Holy Spirit departed, what happened? A distressing spirit. Some of you, your family witches are just hanging around, just waiting for the day the Holy Spirit said, okay, carry on. I said, oh, Holy Ghost, hand over. Thank you. They did hand over service. That very night, you had the dream, and that's where it started from. It is a dangerous thing to grieve the Holy Spirit. It blocks the presence of God, and it makes you ineffective. So when David realized the very moment that he has grieved the Holy Spirit, what did he say? Have mercy upon me, O God. According to your loving heart, kindness. According to the multitude of your tender heart, mercies. Blot out my transgression. You see, whenever it comes to grief, it is the issue of transgression. Oh, do you understand the word transgression? Breaking of laws. Somebody who is not willing to be instructed. You have broken an instruction. You are not yielding to an instruction. The Bible says the ways of the transgressor is so very hard. Lift up your voice and begin to read that scripture. Say, Lord, have mercy upon me. We cannot, by our poor prayer life and poor Bible studies, our fear, our wrong association, continue to grieve the Holy Spirit, and that a distressing spirit to be sent for us to bear the consequences. The anointing of God, the power of God is there. The power of God is there. I'm telling you, if you understand the reality of what God has done in your life, oh God, you are no more going to give authorization to the flesh. Oh, mercy. Have mercy, Lord. Have mercy. Continue the next verse. Have mercy. Shadabra kala basaya. Wash me thoroughly. For I acknowledge. What? No, take your time. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Which verse is that? Verse what? Verse 12. Do you start from the verse 10? Move on. The next verse. Have mercy, Lord. Psalm 51. We are praying. That's how we are going to pray. Verse 9 says, hide your face from my sin and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart. Verse 10, that's what I was looking for. Oh God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence. No matter what, Lord. That's why you have to go there every day. Lift up your voice and begin to pray. Mercy, Lord. Mercy upon mercy. Mercy upon mercy. Just as I am, without a plea. Oh Lord, I come. I come. Oh Lord, I come. I come. Lift up your voice and pray. For I acknowledge my transgression and my sins are always before me. Take me back to the verse 10. Kabrando bo shala branda saya. Lift up your voice and pray. You see, some of us, we need to really repent from grieving him. It is time to restore relationship. Create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Today, we must renew our contract terms with him. And today, we have to silence that flesh. So you have no authorization to operate that part of sin. We seize you from oppression. Shala brakola babasaya. Oh, randa babrakasaya. Oh, lift up your voice and pray. If you are here and you have realized that since you got born again, or in these days, you have realized that it seems the things you want to do, you cannot do them. But the things you wish not to do is what you are doing. You have give authorization to the flesh, that the power of sin is so dominant in your life. I want you to lift up your voice and ask God, that Father, give me strength Oh, I like that song. Let him provide the fire to help you. The fire, fire, fire. Oh, manda brasaya. Lift up your voice and pray. Say, Lord, help me. Help me. Help me. Help me. I come that you will help me. Strength be released. You are my strength. Strength like no other. Strength like no other. Reaches to me. You are my strength. Strength like no other. Like, why, if you know how to sing, help me sing it. Strength like no other reaches. You are my strength. You are my strength. Lord, help us. Oh, strength like no other. The Lord is releasing strength unto you. Strength like no other. Is releasing strength unto you. Sin will not dominate over you anymore. The power of sin is shut now. All God needs is your obedience. We cannot continue to grieve the Holy Spirit. There's a dimension of God's power that is coming upon us this generation. The anointing is going to be stronger. God is going to do mighty things with you. Oh, I see the Holy Ghost touching some of you. I see strength breathe on you. I see the Holy Ghost breathing on you. The breath of the Lord. Oh, Mranda Makasaya. Receive it. It's new strength. Yes, breathe your name upon me, breathe. Just breathe your name upon me. Breathe.
just breathe your name upon me.
Gladly stayed. I believe you were blessed. See you some other time. Bye for now.